Welcome to the Points Hoarder Podcast. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition.
Hello, and welcome to the Points Hoarder Podcast. This is episode number 45 on hopefully February 20th, 2014. I say hopefully because the odds of me getting this online in time for that are, well, mixed, given that I'm in Dhaka, Bangladesh right now. This is Seth hosting this week because I left the country and took the laptop with me, I suppose. I'm in Bangladesh to celebrate the retirement of the final commercial DC-10 aircraft in the world today, currently operated by Biman Bangladesh Airlines. And tomorrow, the 20th, we're recording a day early here, is the final flight. And so hopefully I make it to England in time and can actually get this uploaded and such so that y'all can listen to it. But first, I've got a couple of guests with me here, and these are not your regular Points Hoarder guests, but we're trying to branch out and expand a little bit. Congratulations, gentlemen. You are, in fact, the first non-member special guests we've had on board. I've got Jeremy Dwyer Lindgren. Did I get it right? Yes. I've been worried about the hyphenation order there from airhive.com. And I have Bernie Layton from airlinereporter.com. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, I'm so tired that I don't even know where I am anymore.
Dhaka, Bangladesh. We just went over that.
Yeah, I heard you, but that doesn't mean it's true.
No, that's true. It's true.
Okay, but, I can hear the horns.
Yeah,
the horns is a giveaway. But
I don't know. That covers most of South Asia, really, in my experience.
Right, Africa.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
So we may or may not be in Dhaka.
I think we probably are in Dhaka.
Probably.
Only a few close calls.
Yeah. So you guys have both made it here. Obviously, I had a somewhat similar adventure getting here to you, as you guys did. But and Bernie, you, just a few minutes ago, said I'm on my way out the door and then fell asleep sitting in your chair. So it sounds like you probably had the roughest of go of all of us.
Yeah, probably because, you know, I started flying from Seattle at 12 a.m. on the 17th. Or sorry, 12 noon on the 17th.
Okay.
And I arrived this morning here in Dhaka the 19th at 5 a.m. Now, you think I have some time to sleep, right?
Yeah.
Well, when you think about it, Chicago to Doha is a 13-hour flight that leaves at 8 p.m. and gets in at 7 p.m. If you sleep then, you're going to get jet lag.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's an insomnia rocket from Doha to Dhaka. It's, four hours ahead of Doha, but it's a four-hour flight. So
it's basically like doing a mid-con red-eye in the United States.
Yeah, mid-con red-eye. I just call them insomnia rockets at this point.
Awesome. So you're running on fumes here, so we're going to sort of string you out, ask you tough questions, see if we can get you to admit to something.
I'll confess to anything right now. I even kidnapped the Lindbergh baby.
Well, that's good to know. We can close that case.
Yeah.
And Jeremy, how'd you get here?
I got here on a similar long track, left Seattle on Sunday morning, 0700, and arrived here on Tuesday evening at 1000.
So,
not 1000, 2200. There's the tire there.
Yeah, there's the tire.
Yeah, there it is.
And my routing was similarly longer because I think the smartest thing I've done travel planning in a long time was actually taking a slower trip to get here. The fastest route I could have taken would have been San Francisco to Frankfurt to Istanbul to Dhaka. And that would have been a red eye on San Fran, Frankfurt, a mid-afternoon flight, and then another red eye for Istanbul, Dhaka, which is
so scary.
It's about 6.5 hours. So it's actually long enough to sleep, but it still would have been yet another red eye. And instead I went westbound via, Tokyo and Bangkok and scheduled a 12.5 hour layover in Bangkok. Left the airport and got a hotel room.
And you got rainbow seats.
I mean, yeah, rainbow seats is like my life's goal. It's just a spectacular way to fly.
What do they run out here, 777?
It was a 777 up from Bangkok here, and it was the 380 from Tokyo to Bangkok.
Oh, nice.
So I got to experience that again as well, so that was fun. But the reason we're here, obviously, is the DC-10 final commercial flight. It's actually going to be two flights because it's a tech stop because it can't make it all the way to England on its own, but we're doing Dhaka to Kuwait, and then Kuwait onward to Birmingham, England. And then over a few days after that, there's going to be tour flights and such out and about in Birmingham. But
they're even selling the airsick bags.
Are they?
Yeah.
I was just going to take one off the plane. You think they'll notice?
Well, I think we can't confess to that right now, but let's just say that plane's going to leave a lot heavier than it lands in terms of cabin goods.
Yeah, I would imagine that's probably the case.
Well, this morning when I was on it, they were missing all of the, pretty much all, everything was out of the seat pockets. There was nothing in them. No safety carts, no sick bags, no nothing.
Oops.
Empty.
Oops. Maybe that was just because they were cleaning it.
Well, I mean, I have a box in my room. What's in it isn't important.
Ah, good to know.
I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Details.
Mine was.
Yeah. I I managed to collect some linens and such from the catering facility this morning when we had lunch, although I made it very clear to the executives I was meeting with that I was taking those things with me. And they could try to stop me, but they didn't seem to care that much either. So, good times. Anything particularly special about the DC-10 in your guys' memory that makes you happy or sad about this retirement or intrigued by the fact that it's sort of finally happening? I mean,
well, it's the only heavy aircraft I've ever done an actual commercial-grade flight sim of.
Oh.
And this was must have been back in 1999, but it was one of the most amazing fake flight experiences I've ever had.
So you did like the full, the real trainer type
stuff. Full motion level 6.
Like, nice.
Almost enough time in it to get a DC-10 rating if I had an ATPL.
Wow. So yeah. You'd spend a lot of time then.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot of fun. It's a great aircraft. It's a beast.
Yeah.
But, you know, if the number 2 engine dies, you can always ferry home on 2.
I hope it doesn't come to that.
Yeah, because we'd have to fly substantially lower.
Yeah.
I could live with that. Better photo op of whatever's outside.
Yeah, but it's all sand.
That's okay.
Sand and water.
Yeah, I'm just going to go with it's already going to be 13 hours on board an airplane for this trip. And
is it?
Yeah, 6.5 hours for each of the 2 segments.
No, 6.
No, the morning,
yeah.
And the added bonus of, with the tech stop in Kuwait, which, as someone said to me today, it'll be a 1/2 hour to fuel it up and then another 1/2 hour to get enough air in the engine to get them spinning again. So, it's going to be a long day, but it's also a pretty light load, so we should be able to, I think, we stretch out in the back, we can set up bunks across the 5 across in the middle there and take turns with nap time.
There's an obscene number of pads.
Yeah. It's actually a lightly loaded flight. It's like 30 or 40 people.
Yeah, and it's 252. Are you sure?
343?
I was on it.
Oh, it's 100% 343?
Okay, well, then curl your knees up.
Yeah.
Sleep on the floor.
Now I need to check.
Now he's pulling
his phone out
to double check.
Yeah, we can talk about something else while he's looking, and then you can just go, 5 minutes from now, and say, I was right, Internet.
Details.
Yes. Yeah, so
right or wrong doesn't matter so much.
It does now.
But I used to fly the DC-10s a lot when my family would go to Hawaii from Vancouver.
Okay.
And it was a lot of fun. And I think it's when I learned the term splenectomy, because apparently that's what I was attempting to do to the passenger next to me when I was a 3-year-old. So it's an aircraft that will be missed because it's not quite the end of the era, but it's almost the end of the era. We're getting down to almost nothing.
Jeremy has put his phone down.
And I have nothing to report.
Really?
I have nothing to report.
Data is inconclusive?
No, it was very conclusive. It's just,
neither of us are trusting ourselves anymore.
No, I feel like we don't need to talk about what I found on the phone. And if I perhaps was incorrect, then, why share that? I don't feel there's any need to double down on that. We're just going to move on.
So why is the DC-10 special to you then?
Why is it special?
You got to smell the cargo hold this morning.
I smelled like fish.
Yeah, I know.
There's a lot of fish.
Yeah, that's
really
awesome.
Doing some Hong Kong runs.
I actually saw the stats on the volume of fresh seafood cargo that they run. I was talking to the cargo manager earlier today, so I can get those numbers for you if you'd like.
Yeah, that would be cool.
They've been doing a lot of crab and eel. Goes up to Japan via China these days. Because they dropped the China export. Another interesting random cargo fact is that one flight a couple years ago they did on a single flight 40 tons of green chilies in a single flight to Kuala Lumpur.
That's mind blowing.
I didn't do the math on what that meant in terms of not actually carrying fuel or anything, but it's a whole lot of green chilies. Also, where do you find 40 tons of green chilies to export?
That was my first thought.
Over time, it makes sense to me, but randomly one day, hey, y'all give me 40 tons of green chilies. That was pretty impressive.
I just imagine a Russian billionaire placing the order.
It was going to Kuala Lumpur, so I don't know that necessarily it was a Russian billionaire, but it could be.
It's just funnier than
that. Yeah, it's a fair point.
I'm sure he has an eye. There could be a Russian billionaire with an island.
Yeah, that he was paving with green chilies.
Yeah,
or he just really wanted to make a lot of Asian fusion salsa.
That is definitely a possibility. I actually don't have any particular attachment to the DC-10 at all, which I've been trying to think about why I'm here and why I'm doing this for the past couple of days in getting here, and I really don't have any good reason to come up with other than it seemed like a good idea. It seemed like it'd be a fun trip.
That's why I do everything.
Sure, but I like to occasionally have a better excuse. I will say the folks I've met with at Iman so far have been incredibly hospitable, incredibly friendly, and I've had some meetings with some executives here and some people I've had lunch in the catering group. I toured the catering facility. I've met the cargo people. I've met the sales manager. I've met the director of logistics and operations. So I talked to the guy who handles route planning, but aircraft scheduling.
Met him this morning as well.
Did you? And, you know, it's been a very, very nice group of people and an incredibly educational and informative, you know, experience for me. So I'm glad I did it. Exceptionally glad I did it, but at the same time, I didn't really have a good reason to do it when I started. So, you know, it's a nice win, so to speak, finishing that out.
Yeah, I don't know if I have, you know, I don't have any particular connection to it. It'll be my first and obviously last flight on the airplane. I think the big thing was that I've flown pretty much every Western aircraft you can imagine except for that one.
Okay.
The very last one.
This is filling out the set.
Filling out the set. The only possible one would be the 707, and obviously that ship sailed.
Has Shire stopped flying?
Yeah.
They finally put them out?
The military's taking them back.
Yeah, and then it's not like...
Do they have some 747 SP flying?
Yes, they do. Iran Air has the 747L. It doesn't
use it?
Absolutely.
I thought they
had Kuala Lumpur.
I thought they had parts of acquisition problems that got grounded.
Yeah, they can alert, you know.
I mean, that doesn't mean they can't come up with options.
Yeah, they've got their options. They keep flying with the other 747s. That tells you something.
Well, their 741's gone now.
Yeah, but I've heard that the military took it. The military just goes in and takes whatever they want. It's Iran. That's why.
Fair enough.
I mean, to be honest, I started doing all these last flights a couple of years ago, and I realized that I missed the Aleutian 86 by about a year.
Okay.
And that type went extinct fast.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm never going to miss another plane. And I've been pretty true to that.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know if I plan on hunting down the Russian ones.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, flying the last of a 30-year-old or 28-year-old aircraft that's been based in Bangladesh for its entire life.
Possibly blacklisted for a while.
Yeah, which from an airline that wasn't allowed to operate into Europe for many years and still actually has issues with the United States because of the airport safety rating.
Are they still capped too?
Yeah.
The airport here is also. You know, that gives me slight pause. Extending that to like random, you know, Russian aircraft fueled by vodka makes me even more apprehensive. So.
Yeah, that's basically the concern there. It's not necessarily, well, it's partly the airplane, but it's more the operator that worries me.
Yeah.
And I think, Beeman had its concerns.
Yeah. They absolutely had an hour where they were not reliable. There was that whole hour that was just not at all reasonable, I think.
They were UN blacklisted up until 2009. If you wanted to travel to Bangladesh, you could not do it with Beeman.
Yeah.
Beeman?
I don't know.
We don't know.
We'll try to get an answer from that from the executives tomorrow, and I'll see if I can edit that in at some point during the flight.
So, which actually kind of brings up the question of, depending on who you ask, the big question now seems to be, where is this DC-10 ending up?
Yeah, that is a darn good question, and as best I can tell, it's unknown.
That seems to be the takeaway from it, is that it's unknown. There are four strong unknowns.
Yeah.
And some of them would surprise you.
Including ending up back here.
That was the one that floored me.
It is going to make the return trip.
Sure.
I have reasonably high confidence that this plane will return to Bangladesh on Tuesday or Wednesday of next week.
Well, its certificates run out on the 28th.
That doesn't have a lot of room for options. But if that's the case, then the found new buyer option raises heavily to the top of the four possibilities.
Yeah, I expect that they'll put an RFP out to try to sell it, and someone will pick it up. Or try it. That's their hope at this point. I don't think it's going to end up in a museum.
Unless the museum would take it. They've been trying to get it to the Museum of Flight. The Museum of Flight doesn't have
space,
see it.
Right? Or other issues.
Even if other concerns weren't a problem, they have nowhere to put it.
Yeah.
They're maxed out for space as it is, and then...
Like this morning we heard this museum in England branching for it being tossed around. And I thought that would actually make perfect sense because worst case there's also a scrap operation there. So you can't find a good home for it unless you can find it out because we were talking to some locals in the aviation community today and apparently they bought a DC-10 or someone bought a DC-10 for about $1,500.
Jeez, I'd buy a DC-10 for $1,500. That'd be the biggest lawn ornament in Seattle.
There's going to be a zoning issue with that somewhere.
I don't have these on.
No, I want it all for me.
Okay, then I'll buy the one next door.
You can buy it when my wife forcibly puts it up for auction.
Yeah, but you know it'll sell for more than $1,500, but I guess that's the point.
Oh, it's transiting cost. That's how they get you. It's like when they sell that, you know, multi-million-dollar house for $10,000, but you have to remove it from the property. That's how they get you.
Details.
But, that confirms what I've been hearing from the executives this morning, too, that they have a couple buyers who are very interested.
But nothing signed yet, so.
Yeah. And what I'm hoping doesn't happen is they sell it to some, like, 10th tier carrier, and it turns out to continue running passenger service. That will be terribly disappointing.
You know what? I think that would actually be the best answer, because it means the DC-10 is indestructible. and it means
I think its record proves that it is extremely
strong. It got better.
Sure. I mean, by which it turned to pilot error primarily,
as opposed to fuselage failure or doors not locking.
They detailed. They showed me the entire system in detail today. We did not test whether it works pressurized wise, whether the venting system works, but I'm assured that it should be fine.
Excellent. Well, you know, we'll hold you responsible.
I will take personal responsibility because I'm assuming if something happens, like,
it's because
I'm not
going
to be allowed to answer for it anyway. So,
I guess that means I got to get this posted before the flight. Otherwise, no one will ever hear that you're taking responsibility for it, huh?
Remember, if we're having this conversation again in 5 years, then I don't know Chad. No, Chad's too civilized. Central African Republic, but after a series of coups, and that's where ACR was flying.
Yeah.
I will personally eat my hat.
I would just eat whatever food they serve on the flight again.
I will not be visiting you in that country.
I would go to DRC if the TAN is still running in 5 years. But frankly, I don't think it's...
Mark my words, not a chance of hell.
Yeah.
All right, well, I
think you're all righty, guys. Thanks for chatting DC-10 with me. I hope that the listeners found that vaguely entertaining. Do me a favor, tell our listeners where they can find you and the stuff you write about and all that good stuff online. Bernie?
Well, I write for airlinereporter.com.
All right, you on Twitter also?
Yeah, I'm also Twitter at Power to the Third.
Okay. Is third spelled out?
Third is spelled out.
Okay, awesome.
Is there any particular power you had in mind to be thirding?
I just like cubes.
Fair enough.
It's my favorite function.
All right. You can find me at archive.com, co-editor-in-chief, and all the great work that we're doing there, and our Twitter handle at archive. That's where you can find us.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. Looking forward to the flight. Looking forward to keeping up with you in coming adventures. Take care.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
A few other interesting stories to share on this week's episode. Not related to the DC-10, but, you know, we try to cover everything here where we can. Last episode, we mentioned that Cleveland had been de-hubbed by United, and it was sort of a bit of a guessing game who was going to show up and start picking up the pieces after that. There have been two entries so far. The first is Frontier Airlines has come in with flights to Trenton already operating, and they're also launching service to Orlando on a year-round basis and Seattle on a seasonal basis. So they're going to try to fill some of that in. And then Delta has also offered up service to two of the arguably more business cities, Indianapolis and Raleigh-Durham. In the case of the Delta service, both of those are going to be on regional jets. Raleigh's on a 70-seater and Indianapolis is on a 50-seater. So neither is going to be mainline, but, well, it was Cleveland and they never were, so not too surprising there. Also on the new route front, Alaska Airlines announced three new routes, New Orleans, Tampa, and Detroit. All of them are going to have double points bonuses available for the first few weeks of operation later this year. And in the case of the Detroit service, that bonus also includes double elite qualifying miles. So clearly they're still playing the tit-for-tat fight game with Delta and having some fun with that. Other news, Club Carlson has announced with about a four-week advance notice that they're going to be changing some features of the rewards program that they offer. This is an interesting one because it's sort of some good, some bad. Probably on the overall, I'd say bad, but, you know, that's just because I'm a cynic and I hate hotel loyalty programs, I suppose. Among the negative sorts of changes, they're adding a level 7 to their award chart where the rooms will now be 70,000 points a night up from 50,000, which I already thought was pretty high. They're also reducing the bonus points earned by some elites and removing some of the benefits such as a 24/7 concierge service for their top tier members. the part where they call it concierge level as the elite status program, and then, or it's the elite level name, and then they're no longer offering the concierge service is kind of fun. But, you know, yay, irony, I suppose. Other than that, what else are they changing? They're also going to add a few new redemption options. So that will be nice, I suppose. There's both there are both new sort of gift card type rewards and some better rates on those, and also the ability to redeem for premium award premium room types, which obviously will come with a higher cost, but that's, you know, at least you have access to those rooms. So again, win some, lose some. I think it's overall negative, but, you know, see how it works for you. Qatar Airways is going to be launching an all business class service between Doha and London Heathrow. That service is going to be on an A319 aircraft. So a very, you know, seems very much to me in line with their game plan of as many different aircraft types as we possibly can have, because that's the way the cool kids are doing it. And it's not entirely clear that that's actually what anyone is meaning to do, but Qatar seems to like that plan. So there you have it. And finally, as part of my ridiculous trip for this DC-10 adventure, I've been exploring the world of economy class on a couple new-to-me carriers, both ANA and Thai Airways. And as part of that, I got to be on Thai's A380 from Narita to Bangkok the other day. And it also happens to be the first week that they happen to have Wi-Fi service on board these A380s. So I took it for a little bit of a spin. It sucked, I think, is probably the most appropriate way to phrase the situation. It was crazy expensive, about $2 per megabyte, so not really reasonable for any volume of usage at all in any circumstances. And also, it was really slow. They use what's known as L-band satellite from On Air as the provider, and Emirates uses On Air, Singapore Airlines uses On Air, there's a few airlines that Oman Airlines uses On Air, there's a bunch of airlines out there using them, but the platform they're running with is just not great for anything resembling high bandwidth applications. And so combine that with the part where this was really expensive and then also really slow, and it makes me wonder why anyone would actually want to pay to use it. But maybe that's just me. Still, I don't think it makes much sense. And that's all I can come up with for this week's episode. Sorry it's so short. I know y'all really love listening to us ramble, and promise we'll get more rambling in on next time around. I'm Seth. I'm at The Wandering Aramean, WANDR.me. You can find Points Hoarder at Points Hoarder on Twitter or pointshoarder.com. We've got a Facebook account. We might even have a Google Plus page. I don't even remember. Maybe not. But, you know, we're out there. We're fun. Leave us a comment. Drop us a line. Let us know how we did. Actually, for this episode, please don't, because I'm pretty sure it was awful. But anywho, that's all. Take care.
Thanks for joining us for the Points Hoarder Podcast, where stockpiling points is serious fun.